In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing this together, the introit. May you understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous words. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Put false ways far from me, and graciously teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your just decrees before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Make me to understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous word. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house and all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Lord be with you. Let us pray. O merciful Lord, you did not spare your only Son, but delivered him up for us all. Grant us courage and strength to take up the cross and follow him, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please, you may be seated. The Old Testament lesson from Deuteronomy 30. See, I've set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you will live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going to over to the Jordan and enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, for he is your life and your length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob to give them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to the Lord, give his thanks. For those who fear him lack honesty. Many are the afflictions of the righteous.
From Paul's letter to Philemon, from the verses that you see there. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. To Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, the fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus. I thank God when I always remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith you have toward the Lord Jesus Christ and all his saints. And I pray that your sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of his saints have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, though I'm bold enough to in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake I prefer to appeal to you, I, Paul, an old man and now a prisoner also of Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in prison. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I'm sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own free will. For this perhaps is why he is parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all, or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hands. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me, your even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. This is the word of the Lord. Rise. We rise for the Holy Gospel. Hallelujah. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke in the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now great crowds accompanied Jesus, and he turned to them and said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he is enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going out to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if salt loses its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is of no use either for the soil or for the manure power. It is thrown away. He who has ears, let him hear. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Hymn 908, please be seated. 908. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text before you is the gospel lesson. You may be seated. Dearly beloved, there was a time when we heard very little about the religion of Islam. I remember when I was growing up, I never heard of it before. Probably you hadn't either. Now, it makes a lot of news. It's in the news a lot. There are suicidal bombings and terrorist attacks going on. A future paradise that does not exist, and that's what Islam is looking for. Sharia law, I don't know if you know anything about it, but it's very harsh. It's difficult to conduct yourself according to that law. Theft is punishable by cutting off an arm or a leg. And then criticizing Muhammad is a death sentence, punishable by your end. Allah, the God of Islam, is punishable by death anytime you criticize him. A Muslim becomes a non-Muslim, non-Muslim is punishable by death. One facet is honor killings. Maybe you know about that. An example of one in the Islam community that has broken Sharia law and might be your child, and so you, as the head of the family, take that child's life. Horrible, isn't it? No doubt. Years ago, I met a now Missouri Synod pastor named George Masai. What a wonderful, devoted Christian he is. He was a Hindu, and he had a lot of the same religion feels the Islam. They are, and then also at the same time, I met another man called Kareem Boudawi. Both George Masai and Kareem Boudawi are both Christians, and they are Lutheran Church Missouri Synod pastors. Thank God. George Masai is in Dallas area, as well as Kareem Boudawi. I remember sometime when they came back, they talked about their conversion. I had a chance to visit with them. They came to see me because at that time I had someone who was Muslim in my confirmation class, and I was hoping very much to have some assistance in being able to direct myself to their care. And the problem is that both of them and their religions, Masai being Hindu and Badawi being Muslim, Islam, they had relatives who had the honor in order to kill them. So they were always in fear of their own lives. At the seminary, I had a student, a fellow student there, that said when he became a Christian, his family considered him dead to the world. They didn't know anything about him. And then Pastor Jay Klein, who I was associated with in Houston back when we were doing some outreach to the Jewish community, he spoke about his own Jewish family having a funeral for him once he converted to Christianity. Can you imagine that? Where they take and actually bury a casket, and as far as they're concerned, their son is no longer a part of their community. I don't know if Pastor Klein is still going through that difficulty now, whether he's been able, with the help of God, to convert some of those family members that hated him so much for his conversion, but I don't know. Today the text talks about father, mother, son, daughter, anyone in our family who would replace the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. The Lord Jesus tells us that we are to be ready, that there will be at times conflict in your own family. I have it right now in my own family, where my grandchildren have become disobedient. You cannot get them to understand that church is important to their lives. So if they want to see their grandfather in heaven, they need to get back to church. That's what I tell them. I come honest. If you ever want to see your grandfather and grandmother again, you need to be back in church. But you see, that's the problem, that we look at family members and they often hate us because of the faith that we have. Fortunately, my two sons are going to the church and they're very faithful in their attendance. My oldest son, Wade, taught Sunday school for a number of years at his Missouri Synod Church. And Keith has been active in his congregation too as well, also Missouri Synod in Michigan. Our love for God puts us in danger. Because there are people in our world that would like to see our end, would like to see us die. If you look at church history, you will find every time you turn the page of church history, you will find the blood of saints there. People who were believers in Christ Jesus and lost their lives for the sake of faith. For the sake of the faith in Christ Jesus. Hebrews says it this way, I want to read this. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again for a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with a sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destituted, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. That's the way our first Christians were. They were under terrible persecution. That reference to being sawn in two, that was a reference to Isaiah. I don't know if it's true or legend, we don't know, but the legend is that Isaiah was placed into a log and sawn in two. That's the way they killed him. You see, some Christians were tortured, but they refused to accept release from their punishment. Others suffered mocking and flogging, even chains and imprisonments. Some of the Christians were stoned, you know about Stephen. And others were killed with a sword. You know about the Apostle James, the first one of the apostles that met his life end already in the first book or first few chapters of Acts Gospel or Acts of the Apostles. And then they were forced to go around in skins and goats. And often the skins were used when they became into a arena and they turned loose the lions on them. You and I have it easy. I don't know how those people could have done that. But these martyrs were willing to sacrifice their own life rather than to give up their faith in Jesus Christ. Now, most of us, fortunately, I don't have to worry about my family coming after me. Plus, I've outlived some of them. That's always helps them not come after me, right? Yeah, so nevertheless, I don't worry about that. And you probably don't worry about anybody coming after you and to kill you for the faith. However, it could come. We live in dangerous times. You've read the news. You know what's going on. We have people that teach things that are totally in disagreement with the scriptures. Men claim they're women. Women claim they're men. You got men living together. Women living together. I mean, it's just almost more than you want to stomach. And thank God, most of us will die before we have to see all the terrible things that could yet come. I pray not. I pray that these folks in our world, I hope our grandchildren will come to their senses and understand that they need to fight for the faith or this country could very well lose it. All of this, of course, goes to the first commandment. It's a fearful thing. God says, in Luther's Catechism, he says, "You shall have no other gods before me." You shall have no other gods before me. You shall have no other gods before me. Either way you read it. And what does it mean? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Anyone or anything that we love more than God is an idol. And we have to be careful of that because it's easy for us to do. And that includes our parents, our wife, children, brothers and sisters, even our own life. Jesus says, "Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Now, what is bearing our cross? A lot of times we think, well, I'm sick and I'm bearing my cross. I've got this wrong with me. I'm bearing my cross. People at work don't like me. I'm bearing my cross. Well, that's not really bearing our cross. Those are everyday troubles. Bearing our cross means that we are being persecuted for the sake of the gospel. Whenever you stand up for the sake of the gospel and somebody persecutes you, that is what is talking about bearing your cross. But the interesting thing is that our Lord Jesus Christ has buried his cross for us so that when he gives us our crosses, they may be some that we can carry. It's possible that our family may turn against us, and we must be ready to cut off ties. My mother taught me this, as a matter of fact. She said, Randy, you have to love God more than you love me. I said, oh, Mama, I can't love anything more than I love you. She said, you must. You must love the Lord your God above all things, including me and your family. Well, she was the one that tried to teach me that, and I understand what she meant. But the question comes up in my mind, can you do it? Do you have the resources? Are you able on your own to do that? Do you have the resources? That's the problem. And look at today in our parable, he gives us a man who wants to build a tower. He decides he's going to build it, starts gathering some of the material, and realizes that he doesn't have enough. And he cannot complete that tower. The Holy Spirit inspired the writer of Hebrews to say, but we don't have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus is our high priest, and he gives us the resources that we need to fight against Satan, the world, and our flesh. Right now, you're getting your tank filled up again. It's like going to the gas station, not the plug-in place, which maybe it'll work and maybe it won't. I guess y'all saw that California asked everybody not to charge their cars this week. Did you see that? I hope you saw that. I want you to know those people are silly. I'm not getting rid of my petrol. I want that thing to run. When I get in the car, I don't want to say, did I get it charged up last night? Did the electricity go off and it didn't charge my car? I'm not doing that. So Jesus also had family that disowned him and were having a hard time with him. And Mark tells us this. When Jesus went home and the crowds gathered again so that he could not even eat, and when his family heard it, they went out to seize Jesus, for they saying he is out of his mind. His own parents, Maybe Joseph was still alive at that time. We don't know. His brothers and sisters. Jesus did have brothers and sisters. After Jesus' birth, Mary and Joseph had children, and the scriptures tell us about it. But Jesus points out that, who are my children? And who is my mother and my father? It's those who does the will of God. He is my brother and sister and mother. Jesus had to deny his own family. Did you realize that while Jesus was alive, before the crucifixion, that his family somehow did not believe that he was the Messiah? I guess I can understand that. Suppose your brother that you raised with, all of a sudden, he's the Messiah. I mean, it just goes against your own mind. James didn't believe that his brother was the Messiah. Joseph, one of the brothers of Jesus, did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah until after the resurrection. And then they realized that Jesus really was who he was. As a matter of fact, the brother James became the bishop of Jerusalem after Jesus died. After Jesus had died and persecution began, and it chased all of the local disciples out into the various places where they went, they had to spread the gospel other places. But James, the brother of Jesus, became the bishop of the Jerusalem church. You can read that in Acts. So Jesus, suffering his death on the cross, eventually got through to his own family that he really was the Messiah. And that after his resurrection, he appeared to many people, and they got to see him alive.
And by seeing him alive, they didn't have to ask themselves, did he really rise from the dead? No. Even in Corinthians, Paul says you can ask the people here. They saw him. There's many of you, 500 of you or so, have seen Jesus, although some of you have fallen asleep. But you have seen Jesus resurrected from the dead. Well, the great news is that Jesus, by faith, the Holy Spirit adopts us into his faith and keeps us there. Before he ascended into heaven, Jesus said in Matthew 28, "Behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." He's never going to leave us. And then in Hebrews 13, Jesus says, "I will never leave you or forsake you." His triumph means Jesus is by our side whenever the difficulties of our world overtake us. And if we happen to bear the cross because of Jesus, somebody persecuting us, we know that he is there to care for us and will provide everything we need and eventually give to you and me eternal life. Our world today, we know that evil has no conscience. There is nothing that people will not do. It will attack all with all its resources. It will attack us through our family and friends. My grandsons tried to get me to believe all that silliness that they were believing. No, I'm not having that baloney. That's baloney. Whether they will come around, I don't know. But even Satan may attack our bodies. It may cause us physical affliction. Evil will try to convince us that we are wrong in our faith, especially when we remain faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. But in spite of all of that, the Holy Spirit keeps us in the true faith. The Holy Spirit sustains our faith. And the words of Scripture, when we hear them, the Holy Spirit says, yes, that is what Jesus has done for you. Now, God the Father has sacrificed his own Son to die for our sins. We certainly did not deserve it, but the Lord Jesus Christ determined that he was going to be obedient to his Father, and in his death, he takes upon himself all of our sins, all of them, even the ones we just hate to even think about anymore, and then all the world's sins so that Jesus becomes the worst sinner of all. And he gets sacrificed on the cross of Calvary in order to take away all of our sins. But there's a magnificent thing that takes place. The Lord Jesus Christ also gives us all of his holiness. The Holy Spirit gives us every good thing about Jesus and lays it on us as if we were the beloved, if we were the ones who paid the price, when we did not. The Lord Jesus has put all of his grace on us so that he calls us brothers and sisters in Christ. Keep in mind, just as Jesus inherits the family kingdom in heaven, so do you. On our last day, our Lord Jesus Christ will give to you all the blessings of heaven. Not because you deserve them and I deserve, we don't, but because of that forgiveness that Jesus won for us, all of the goodness of Jesus is placed on us. Fear not, little flock, for it pleases your Father to give you the kingdom. That was my son's confirmation verse. It is pleasing to God that he will give to you and me the entire kingdom. At the same time, he forgives our sins by placing them on Jesus. He gives holiness of Jesus to us. Now, you know, in our church, whenever we're receiving new members, Barbara, you asked about this a little earlier. When we receive new members, here's what we ask them. Do you intend to hear the word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully? Do you intend to live according to the word of God in faith, word, and deed? To remain true to God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death? Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? And when we received, many years ago when I was confirmed, we had those same words, And what do? We don't say, I do. We say, I do by the help of God. And it is by Christ Jesus that he enables us to do the things as we live out our life in Christ. For it's only by grace that you have been saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that none of us can boast. The grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit will keep us in the true faith, both now and in the future. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses our human understanding, may it keep your hearts and minds in true faith unto the life to come. In Jesus' name, amen. We speak the words of the Apostles' Creed. Would you rise with me? I believe. What did I do with it? I don't know what I did with the prayers of the day. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy to us. And O God, our King, you counted the terrible cost of our salvation and sent your Son to give his life on the cross. Inspire our hearts to trust fully in his sacrifice, his sacrificial victory, that we would follow in his ways through death and eternal life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Divine Shepherd, you gave life to your church through your holy word. Grant your people always to walk in your ways. Receive your blessings as they serve you in this world and in the life to come. Bless all pastors, those bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ, especially enable us that we may speak the truth of God's word to your people and your people respond. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, you are our life and our length of days. You set before us the gift of life in your holy word. Preserve your institutions of marriage and family. Guard husbands and wives, parents and children, both from despising and from idolatry of one another. Instead, let every relationship in our home exemplify your unconditional love for us in Christ. And grant that all might follow him in their service to one another. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Good Lord, preserve us from the ways of wicked and prosper us in your path. We commend to you all who bear the office in our land, our president, our governors, our Congress, and those who make laws and those who determine the outcome of the laws. Grant us every joy in their calling that you've given to us, that they might render service to us, to your people, and in love of our community and in our neighbors. Remember those in need of honest labor and those who need daily bread, and give them gainful employment according to your good and gracious will. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Oh, Lord, give the strength of your spirit to those who are suffering in any kind of need, and especially those who have been listed in our prayer list today. Include all in those who are suffering that we may not know about, that they may have courage and will to take up their crosses and follow the Savior through suffering into joys of life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, you have set before us life and death, blessing and curse in your holy word. Now at the altar through your own word, Your Son sets before us His own body and blood. Grant that all who receive the sacrament today may do so with prepared and penitent hearts, rejoicing in Your gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. For the sake of Jesus, Lord, in Your mercy, hear our prayer. Finally, O Lord, preserve us from all temptation, and grant us faith that we may rest all we may rest in our prayers and desires that come before You in Your merciful arms. For the sake of Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Maybe seated. Okay, For all that's been offered to me, I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call on the name of the Lord. I will pay the amount of the creation and will call on the name of the Lord. I will take the in the presence of all His people in the courts of the Lord's house. In the midst of you, O Jerusalem. Our hymn 618.
We rise.
The Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to You, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for His fallen creation humbled Himself by taking the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Risen from the dead, He has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify Your glorious name, evermore praising You and singing, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of our and might, heaven and earth are full of Your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed are You, O Lord of heaven and earth, for You have had mercy on those whom You created and sent Your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin, to be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of His body and His blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and in the remembrance of Jesus, we beg You, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with Your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat His body and drink His blood as He bids us to do in His own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and His kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To You alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. As often as we eat and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night in which He was betrayed, took bread. When He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to His disciples and said, Take and eat. This is My body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of Me. In the same way also, He took the cup after supper. When He had given thanks, He gave it to His disciples and said, Drink of this, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in My blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. come to the table of the Lord. You may kneel. Take and eat the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. This has been given into death for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. Take and eat. Take and drink now the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the forgiveness of all your sins. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Depart now in God's peace and joy. Amen. Welcome to the table of the Lord. Take and eat the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. This has been given into death for you, for the forgiveness of all your sins. Take now and drink the blood of Jesus for you, which has been shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Depart now in God's peace and joy. Amen. Oops, sorry, missed you one. Be right back. Take and eat the body of our Lord Jesus for you. This has been given into death for your sins. Take and eat the body of Christ for you. This has been given into death for your sins. Take and drink the blood of Christ. It's been shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Take and drink the blood of Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Take and drink the blood of Christ for you. This is given into death for all of your sins. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Depart now in God's peace and joy. Amen. We rise.
Thank the Lord and sing his praise. Tell everyone what he has done. Let all who seek the Lord rejoice and proudly bear his name. He recalls his promises and leads his people forth in joy. With shouts of thanksgiving, alleluia, alleluia.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you, and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you.
The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
You may be seated. Hymn 923.